I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Harman Dewan, founder and CEO of BigHam Healthcare, a company that provides revenue cycle management, billing, and other services to healthcare sector entities. We're going to be discussing how his company is utilizing AI. So for starters, Harman, for people who are not familiar with your company, please describe briefly what your company does, the types of healthcare sector entities that you service, and sort of the mix of companies that you work with.
So I'll keep it pretty simple so that everybody can understand. So we help providers of all sizes, individuals, solo practitioners, hospitals, health systems, clinics, facilities, to get paid faster. Right now, that is the RCM cycle, which involves your credentialing, billing, follow-ups, and the whole gamut of services. So in short, we help providers get paid faster. We deploy technologies, build technologies to help with that.
So how is BigHam utilizing AI right now in the services that you provide to clients, and what sort of AI are you using?
I'll rewind a little bit right here, and I'll address the AI aspect of it. So the AI word has been, companies have been touting it for years now. And it was not exactly AI, but it was more RPA, which stands for robotic process automation. So it's basically coding and making sure certain actions take place. And only until, I believe it was November last year, when OpenAI launched their AI model, ChatGPT, that it got available to the common person, right? That's when the cat, exactly, like they say, got out of the bag. Everyone had access to it. So now is when we'll be seeing a lot of impact, processes, services, efficiencies. Let me just explain how AI will impact. For example, let's say if a doctor right now, he bills a claim, they got a billing company or someone else doing it for them. And it's a whole process that they have to follow. They have to see the consult, the notes, and then bill accordingly, what CPT codes and whatnot. Now in the future, not too distant future, you could have a bot listening in. For example, if it's a chiropractor or if it's a dermatologist, someone goes in and says, all right, I've got thinning air, I need something. And the bot in the background is listening to all of it. And based on that consult, it runs it queries it with all that vast database and comes up and bills the claim, right? And once the provider approves it, it gets billed. And then, of course, there's automated follow-ups with insurance companies based on all the rejections or the questions that get asked. So all of this process can be automated and will be automated intelligently. Right. So AI in a nutshell is that. And in terms of administrative services, the other side of it, for example, right now, for a provider, if he enters or she enters a health system, it takes anywhere from 2 to 4 months for that provider to actually start seeing patients. What does that involve? First would be, so I'm going to talk in layman's terms. There's a word called credentialing, right? It's a process wherein you credential the provider. Basically, it's a very extensive background check. So you check against the qualifications, degrees, licenses, and all of that stuff. And then, of course, you grant certain privileges. If it's an orthopedic surgeon, you grant them the privileges to go perform surgeries, certain access to areas and whatnot. And then, of course, you gotta enroll them with payers so that when they see those patients, the hospital or the health system can actually bill the payers and get reimbursed for those claims. So all of this process is pretty, it's like a maze. Interdepartmental communication delays and whatnot. And it takes 2 to 4 months. And in that time, those providers are not available to patients, right? They can't see them. You've got scheduling delays and whatnot. And of course, it's a monetary loss as well for hospitals, facilities, and health systems. So how do you fast track it, right? I believe even with technology of 10 years old, it could have been done, but it's not been done. So what we've done is credentialing has been automated to a certain extent, which is your background checks. People are doing it. There are a couple of companies that are doing it. But in our case, we've come up with a product called Provider Passport, right? So it's going to be a massive provider directory on the front end. And on the back end, if I'm a health system and I've got Provider Passport deployed in my internal systems, just need an NPI number. And within seconds, your credentialing will be done. Your privileges, as per your bylaws or whatever it says, it will be fed into the system during onboarding, but it'll run it up It'll go to the board for approval, and automatically our bots in the background will file the applications with the insurance payers and follow it up intelligently. So it's a large language model in the back end, which basically then analyzes the responses that are coming from the payers and does appropriate follow-ups accordingly till resolution. So from 2 months, what we're aiming to do is have a provider onboarded within 7 days. That's a big claim that we're making, and we're almost there. And it's going to be amazing. So doctors would be readily available to take appointments and whatnot. So that's the kind of impact AI is driving right now. So just imagine into the future when decision support comes in and you've got doctors, let's say I've got thinning hair or whatever it is some person has, or let's say, for example, take a chiropractor. You're going in with a lumbar problem or a L1, L2, whatever problem you have, and the doctor is conversing, but the doctor would have access to the AI that can actually go and query huge sums of data, right? And say, you know what, with this case, what you're prescribing is this, but you got a 70% efficacy system with a combination of these drugs or these procedures, and that's decision support. So of course, as opposed to one mind treating you, that mind now has support of all the minds that have ever specialized in that area, and that's been documented online. So it's exciting times.
Is your company right now working with the credentialing sort of technology you were just talking about? Is that something that you're already doing?
Yeah, we are doing credentialing, Marianne. So credentialing, privileging enrollments, we're doing it currently, and we're set to launch in the first quarter of 2024 the provider password. That's the name of the software, the AI-driven software. So we're currently onboarding beta clients. See, this is a big pain point. You got providers, they're coming into the system, but they're not able to see patients. 2-3 months. Not only is it a drawback for patients, but it has a huge economic impact on the health system's bottom line. And so it's going to change all of that. So from days, months to minutes, that's what we're striving for. And it's here.
So with that said, for instance, with the credentialing, it'll dramatically cut that time that it takes for the doctor to be able to start seeing patients. What other sort of examples of AI are you sort of encouraged by that either your company might be interested in sort of pursuing, or that you see as potentially very beneficial for the healthcare sector overall moving forward?
Absolutely. I think one critical area is the amount of time physicians, healthcare professionals spend in administrative tasks. One we've already addressed, which is the credentialing, all of that stuff, right? Just making sure that the providers are able to onboard faster. The other is billing. It's a huge pain point. I believe it's something like, I think more than an hour or around 2 hours that a physician or a healthcare professional typically spends making sure that everything is in order so they get paid. So that can be easily automated. That's something that we're looking at. You got this software sitting on a laptop while you're consulting with the patient, and it's picking up everything, what you're talking, what you're not talking, and then it will give you a bill out everything, right? And the beauty of it is you got machine learning wherein, so if you correct something, it's going to learn. It's going to get better and better and better at it. And of course, instead of having people follow up, you got intelligent engines that understand, you got the large language model coming. You can train it with vast amounts of data and it's following up. So which means, and all of this can be done pretty efficiently and cost effectively. Right now, I believe on an average, a health system or a hospital pays anywhere from 3-8% of their revenue in making sure the billing services are performed and they get paid. So all with AI coming in, all of these efficiencies will be able to drive in an amazing way. So that is one area we're looking at, just to basically streamline billing. Billing is a puzzle, is a maze. CPT codes, whatnot. So with AI, it's going to get simpler and simpler and simpler, and just trying to make sure that the payments come in faster.
So in terms of potential risks of using AI in healthcare, including those related to data privacy and security, what are you most concerned about? And how are you planning to approach those sorts of risks in your use of AI?
Whenever a new technology, and in this case, I won't even call it technology. It's a huge paradigm shift with AI coming in. I think it has to be assisted with humans first, for sure, wherein they're validating each and every step along the way. For example, in our case, SMEs, which are subject matter experts, let's say in credentialing, they were busy answering clients' questions, trying to resolve their processes, their requests, and whatever, trying to fulfill their orders efficiently. Right now, what they're busy doing is basically trying to train the model so that it's better than them, right, in a way. So those SMEs are now involved in making sure that we are able to effectively and efficiently train those models. And of course, it's going to make less mistakes than a human, for sure. There's no comparison.
Looking ahead to the year ahead, what sort of AI developments are you kind of keeping your eye on? Maybe things that you're not doing yet at your company, but, you know, are watching carefully for, you know, potential application, you know, at your own company or for your clients.
One of them is, which is really fascinating, is you can train a model to talk, to write like you, right? So if you've got vast amounts of recording or a lot of data with you about your recordings, phone calls and whatnot, you train it with that. You got a lot of emails, let's say going back 10, 20 years, you put it into the system and then it will just talk like you. It will write like you, just like you. I mean, it's you would hardly over, if you keep using it for a couple of months or even not even that, you'll just say that it's as good as you. I mean, it sounds you. And that is something that can be applied in a big way in healthcare as well. One of the areas I believe, other than this, is your decision support, which is massive, right? In the sense, right now we go to a doctor and we are just dependent on whatever they prescribe us. It could be well on point, it could not be on point. So they're also under pressure and seeing more patients, they got appointments and whatnot. But to have that kind of decision support wherein you know whatever you're being prescribed or recommended, whatever procedure, you know that it's been vetted against the database of all human population, and you know this is the best treatment there is that's documented. So I think that'll be huge.
How much vetting do you think AI needs in terms of generating, you know, for instance, you gave the example about the emails, then perhaps you could teach an AI tool to, you know, write a batch of emails out to people that you need to send emails out, and it sounds like you, but you don't also want that sort of being spoofed by, you know, fraudsters who are coming out sending emails that sound like you, they have your signature on it, but it's not you. How much vetting do you think there needs to be in terms of like your humans sort of looking at whatever it is that's produced, and where does that sort of fit in, do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be spooky. It's going to be so good. So you got to have something. I think there are probably laws that are going to come into place. You know, those deep fakes and whatnot that's coming out. I'm sure Facebook's going to have algorithms that's going to detect all of these fakes and whatnot. So I would say pretty soon you're going to have laws around it. So if you are using an engine that is emulating you, you probably have to declare it. Just like if you're recording something, you got to say, all right, this conversation is being recorded. So this would be probably driven by governments, law and whatnot, because AI is progressing at a scary speed. And it's fun. But along with fun, you got to keep it balanced. So I'm sure the government is busy at it, and they're going to come up with laws pretty soon that are going to define what you got to disclose and whatnot.
And as you talk to healthcare clients, what is it that they're looking to do with AI that perhaps, you know, you haven't done this yet, or, you know, something that maybe isn't in the works, but something that you think is, well, that's where that'd be an interesting application that you think would help them make the most of their worker productivity, you know, streamline, you know, other administrative sorts of things that they perhaps still struggle with. I know you mentioned billing. Are there other areas?
No, absolutely. So one would be that we've addressed already, right? And we're set to launch the provider passport in the first quarter of 2024. Right, that takes care of your credentialing, privileging, insurance enrollments, licensure renewal. So now if I'm a physician, our system is going to go in proactively, renew your licenses for you. So I'll give you an example. We were showcasing our platform to this hospital, and they were asking us questions. All right, what about this? Who will enroll? Who will privilege? I said, no, it's just the system. You turn it on and you forget about it. If there's an exception, if there's a sanction against a product, something that you've defined that, all right, a human needs to look at, it's only then that you will be notified. Otherwise, the system works for you. You don't have to work it. So that's one side of it, which is your credentialing, privileging. And you're getting these kind of reactions. They're like surprised. They're like, wow. I said, yes. And it's not like Star Trek or next stage technology. It's just simple AI and RPA, which is robotic process automation that you use, and you're able to do it. And other than that, of course, it's billing. And then I said, it's decision support. These areas, I think, first have to be addressed. From there on, it's more about, I believe, government, a level playing field in terms of the legacy systems where you have access to more data freely, of course, within the confines of privacy and whatnot, so that more entrepreneurs can enter this space and disrupt. It is ripe for disruption. The only problem is the access, HIPAA, all of these things, regulations come in and they kind of, it's like a hurdle, right? Before you even begin, you got to have lawyers, teams and whatnot. Yeah, I'm talking huge expenses here before you even start to play around with it or tinker with it and innovate. So, but it's coming in the next year or two. It's going to be massive efficiencies driven across the whole sector.
Well, thank you, Harmon. I've been speaking to Harmon Dewan. I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.